It's a bonus episode. Roar? Sharks don't roar. What was that?
Oh, that's right. They do roar in Jaws 4. They roar.
Oh, that's right. So I'm accurate. Roar. Welcome to the show. Bonus episode number lucky 13. And this is franchise The Deep Blue Sea 3 with your host on the ones and the twos, Syntax Ehrenberg, the D-Train. And over here, HP.
HAP down the GSP, everybody. That's right. That's right. How's everybody doing? Welcome to a bonus ep on your regular feed of the franchise. Hey, did you notice?
Why'd you say regular feed? Is there some kind of other feed that the listeners should know about?
Oh, it's funny you mentioned it. I believe there's something called the Patreon, which people can pay $5 a month for all kinds of exclusive bonus content, 2 episodes a month from Daniel and myself, that is Henry, and about 19 episodes a month with Daniel, Shut Up Tim, and Logan B. Adair.
We talk about kids' movies and Big Brother.
That's right. So you get a lot of bang for your buck, and there's other tiers as well. For more on that, check out the Olivia Smith website at thefranchisepod.wixsite.
I mean, yes, but check out patreon.com/thefranchise. What are you doing?
Because it's on there, too. I figured kill two birds with one shot.
No. We need them to come to the site and pay us.
That's a good point. I don't want them just looking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we don't take browsers. There's no sitting in our bookstore.
Yeah, that Olivia site's great, but it's window dressing.
You break it, you buy it. There's no browsing. We're an upscale store. You come in to look at furniture, you're leaving with something.
Yeah, you come in, there's like wood floor. It's like a Lord and Taylor in here.
Very much so.
Yeah, if you buy a piece of jewelry, you're going to have a fluffy little white thing in there to cushion it. Don't even worry about it.
This is Tiffany's over here. You don't come in and look at our jewelry. You get a pass because you got to buy something.
This is anthropology. Do you see a Y at the end of that word? No, it's a fucking IE, you fucking downscale pieces of shit.
Yeah, that's right. That's how we grab you. We downgrade you to upgrade to us.
But don't worry, flyover states. I hear they're going to start selling alcohol and Cracker Barrels, so don't even worry about it.
They don't do that already?
No, for the first time they are.
Yeah, all right.
As someone who was both an alcoholic and went to some Cracker Barrels in my life, I can confirm that they don't have alcohol.
That's funny. Wow. Cracker Barrel. All right. Well, hey, I voted.
Did you? I'm going to vote on the day, you know.
You are?
You know, on November whatever.
You better check that day out. Tuesday, I don't know, 3rd or 5th, 4th, yeah.
Super no, it was beautiful. Tuesday.
It was beautiful. Got the ballot in the mail, mailed it out, baby.
Who'd you vote for?
Huh?
Who'd you vote for?
Oh, third party.
Third party?
Yeah. The American Constitutionalists and Federation of Socializations.
Ooh, yeah. Who's their candidate this year?
It's a cardiovascular surgeon who has removed a tick from a human successfully out of their intervascular carotid artery.
Now,
and, you know, I don't know the platform. I just don't like the main candidates, man.
No. When you said cardiovascular, I thought maybe that was going to Cardi B. And I was going to be like, oh, exciting. But no, I don't want that.
You make the ballot. No, I voted Biden-Harris and Democrat across the board. We also had a question of the legalization of marijuana. And two other, you know, ballot initiatives.
Were you pro-legalization?
Yes, I am. Yep.
Yeah.
I'd like
Are you
going to
become a big stoner? I can see that happening. I could see all of a sudden late in life Henry becoming a stoner.
I mean, anything's possible, but no, that's not even why I'm for it. I would like to see the incarceration rates of people of color go down a bit. You know what I mean? Let's stop busting people for that.
What's the connection there? Henry, what a political episode it's been so far. We're here to talk about fake-looking shark attacks.
Yeah.
Deep Blue Sea 3 came out. I don't know if you guys are aware of it. It's one of these things that just appears, you know? Can you imagine them, like, conceiving this and then casting it and filming it?
It's a lot of faith in a 21-year-old original movie. I mean, a good, fun movie, but man, oh man. And I got to confess, you know, on air, when Dan told me it was out, my heart sank a little bit.
That's bullshit, though, because my heart sank a little bit, and I texted you, and you seemed a little more excited.
Oh, that might have been some facetiousness in there. I don't know. Maybe at the time the mood hit me and I was like, sure, that'd be great. You know,
I think you were feeling it.
I think I might. I mean, maybe. But, you know, hey, we're going to get into it and we'll find out if it was, you know, as you might recall, for our 100th episode, we did Deep Blue Sea and Deep Blue Sea 2. We were both big fans of the first one. The second one was
really
bad.
Right. It was like this real low budge, like thrown together bullshit straight to video thing. And like the only actors in it that were notable, Henry, was like Michael Beach in there.
I'm actually looking up on Letterboxd right now.
It was Michael Beach was like an evil inventor trying to cure something. And then Danielle Sov, who's like sixth build on the Grey's Anatomy firefighter spinoff Station 19, was the lead. A show so boring that even though it's a Grey's Anatomy spinoff, I dropped it this year.
I see on my Letterboxd, yes, I gave it a one. You gave it a one. Our buddy Benny Cohen gave it half a star.
Mm-hmm. I can see it. If I was a coward and gave half stars, I might have done that.
And a couple other people, one star. Nothing above one star for Deep Blue Sea.
It was trash, man. It was trash. It was not even recommendable. Like, there's plenty of silly shark movies that are, like, bad that I like that I would recommend over that movie. Like, fellas, if you want, check out Spring Break Shark Attack. Check out Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus. You want to check out the first two Sharknados, and then the fifth one is good again. All right. What else?
About?
I don't know. I lost my steam, and then I wanted you to pick it up.
So this one comes out, Deep Blue Sea 3. Do we have... I don't think we have anybody... John Pogue directed. Now, he's not connected with the prior two films.
No, but these... I'll tell you something. These writer and directors are of note. They are of note.
Well, yeah. First one, is it Rennie Harlan?
No. I'm talking about these two fellas in this movie. It was Rennie Harlan in the original Deep Blue Sea.
Right.
He was coming off of Cutthroat Island, and he needed a hit.
Yeah.
So listen.
Yeah.
John Pogue. Let's talk about him. He directed this.
Saw one of his films.
Well, what I have to tell you, Henry, is you've probably seen more than one of his films, because he got his start as a screenwriter, okay? And he wrote a film that we covered here on the podcast called U.S. Marshals.
Oh, I see that. Wow. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. He's responsible for the quintessential, the franchise three-star movie?
That is correct, yes.
That's kind of an accomplishment.
Sure is. He also wrote The Skulls with Paul Walker and Joshua Jackson.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Good, we could go over that. That's a franchise.
Yeah.
He did Rollerball, the remake.
Nice.
With the great Chris Klein. Then there's Ghost Ship.
Yeah, I never saw Ghost Ship, but these are big movies.
Those are big movies. Then then he became a director, Henry. He made The Quarantine 2.
I love the first Quarantine.
Did you see the
sequel.
Second one? Maybe we should cover it.
Oh, they're fun. Well, I only saw the first one, so I don't know.
All right, then a film called The Quiet Ones.
Saw it in theaters.
You saw this in theaters?
Yeah. Pre-Netflix days. Went to a lot of movies. That was in that period. It's two stars. Yeah. It's nothing special.
I don't know, man. You know? It was nominated for 3 Fangoria Chainsaw Awards.
Really? I remember almost nothing about it except that Jared Harris is the lead.
That's right, yeah. So then he followed that up with a film called Blood Brother, which stars Trey Songz and Fetty Wap, some great musicians. and also appears to have R-Truth, the wrestler. That's exciting for me. Okay, and then he did Deep Blue Sea 3. So what a prolific, interesting career for John Pogue. Let's look at the writer, Henry Dirk Blackman. And he has had a prolific writing career as well. He's a franchise guy. He got he got his start on Black Mask 2, City of Masks.
Wow.
I've only seen the first one.
Not about the Batman villain, I assume.
No, this is pre that.
Well, the Batman villain goes back decades. What
do you mean, Black Mask? Isn't that from like Hush or some shit?
No, Black Mask goes back to like 1992, like Shadow of the Bat.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I forgot. The villain in Hush is Hush.
Yeah, and a lot of other people, right?
Sure. All right. Then he wrote a thing called Outlander, not related to that Star show where people are naked all the time. Then he wrote One of the Underworlds, Rise of the Lycans.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
All right. He wrote a Hulu movie I watched earlier this year.
He wrote an episode of Into the Dark, the Blumhouse Hulu show that's about holidays or something.
It's not very good. There's a couple of good things in there, but this was probably the best one, actually, delivered. It's got Tina Majorino in it, who's really good.
Kind of an Tina Majorino.
Yeah, she's great in this. Kind of plays an Annie Wilkes type role. Fun little shocker.
Annie Wilkes. That's that character from season 2 of Castle Rock.
I think that's what. Episode 4 of The Mist. She's in the crowd.
Man, I was watching that movie Silent Hill.
Fucking garbage, that movie. I saw that.
That's just, you never watched that Myst TV show, right?
Oh yeah, I tried. I gave it an episode on your just to watch it.
Isn't it's that so what Silent bad. Hill is like?
Yeah, Silent Hill's terrible, man. Mm-hmm. It's terrible. I think Silent Hill's probably better than the Myst TV show, but it's pretty close. Yeah.
It's pretty close. All right, H-Bomb. That's the crew here.
John Pogue.
Yeah, so this movie came out on a budget of $5 million at the end of July, and we're getting to it now. Henry.
Yeah.
Do you want to know about the plot?
Oh, I'd love to. Tell me a little bit.
Henry and I watched this over a week ago, so we kind of need this.
Yeah, I watched it 11 days ago. It's really great to see something that's very, very funny. I don't know if you noticed on Letterboxd, but sometimes we mention it's fun to see which listeners are following along with the movies. I have precisely one bothered to watch this.
I noticed that too, yeah, somebody. And he gave it like one star.
It's Benny Cohen. Yeah.
Henry, this plot summary of Deep Blue Sea 3. I'm so glad this isn't on the Patreon feed. These people aren't paying to hear us read plot summaries of straight-to-video movies. No,
they're not. They're not paying anything, so, you know.
Nick Reginus wrote this plot summary.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, off the coast of Mozambique, somewhere... I already love it. Off the coast of Mozambique, somewhere in the middle of the vast Indian Ocean... What a great writer this kid is.
I love you assume he's a kid. Yeah, he's a kid. Probably is.
I picture he's like a fat 17-year-old.
Yeah, probably. A fat 17.
Yeah, greasy to the touch.
He has a wide berth.
Yeah, wide load. All right. If I may repeat that, Henry, off the
please.
Coast
yeah.
of Mozambique, somewhere in the middle of the vast Indian Ocean.
It's very vast.
The rapidly sinking artificial islet.
Right. Okay.
Known as Little Happy. And its last two residents. Its last two residents. Can we talk about that? Are facing the effects of global warming. All right. So that's the setting for this. It takes place on basically like a garbage island that is being swallowed up by the ocean.
Very fast.
Yeah. And everybody has abandoned this island except for this one couple that's like, we are, in like an indeterminate accent, we are staying.
Yeah, very much so. Tell the truth. Yeah. I like the way he put it. Literally sounds like it could be a porn. The island of Little Happy and its two survivors. Is it a dick?
What? The island?
Remember you asked me if I had a name for my my Johnson a long time ago. Maybe it's Little Happy and its two survivors.
You want the word little in the name of your dick?
I don't, unless it's ironic.
Oh, like you mean like when you call a fat guy slim?
Yeah, like Little John in Robin Hood. You know, he's actually real big. Yeah,
but Little John in rap is pretty little.
Maybe I'll retract the Little Happy with its two survivors. But I do like the two survivors, so I'm going to keep those from balls.
All right. Oh, Jesus. All right, so these two, they're just, like, hanging out. And it's like the wife wants to go. Like, she's like, literally, we're going to be underwater in a week. And the husband is like, I have my pride.
Right,
and
right.
And we're like, no, you don't. Yeah. You're the least proud person in the world. You have nothing. You're a shit.
You're gonna kill your family in your canoe. Yeah. If you don't leave. Yeah. But they do have some white, black, and Asian people, scientists. Who
saviors.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Right. White, black, Asian saviors. A guy named Spin.
Hang on.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. There. On Little Happy, of course.
Oh, right. Yeah.
The passionate marine biologist. Very passionate. You picture this 17-year-old kid. She's so passionate. Although I gotta say, I remember the last movie having some cheesecake in it. Like random scenes of like girls taking their tops off for no reason. Not much of that in this one.
No.
Much to my chagrin, because I was excited to see that one actress.
We are gonna be talking about a movie that is of, I'm not, you know, I always do this. It doesn't make any difference. I always pretend like we're not gonna reveal what we thought. We kind of do.
You liked it more than I did. You seem pretty excited about this movie.
The quality is just such a step up from two.
Definitely.
That's all. It's just, so that surprised me. It's like an actual movie. That's
no,
not
it's,
whether,
no, no,
I'm
no,
not
no,
saying,
no, 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 it's not.
It's good. I'm not even saying I'm giving you a good review, but I thought it was like an actual
movie. No, it's not.
Movie. TV movie?
No, this is like a VOD movie. The thing is that the last one was so bad that it didn't even look good enough to be a VOD movie.
Yeah, no, that one looked like we shot it.
Yeah.
People off the street. I thought this was pretty professionally done. There were some cool shots.
Glad to hear it.
All right, continue the plot. You're passionate.
The passionate marine biologist, Dr. Emma Collins, played by, what's her face?
I don't know, but I liked her.
No, you know her. What's her name?
Tanya Ramon. Tanya Raymond.
She, of course, we covered her pretty recently in that Texas Chainsaw film with Alexandra Daddario, the one we kind of liked.
I gave it 2 stars.
I gave it 3, I think. Texas Chainsaw 3D, this was. And she played sort of second banana to Alex. She was like the best friend. Like, I'm your slutty best friend.
Okay. I was trying to remember her in that, and I could not. Yeah. Okay, sure.
She got killed in like a pit. Remember like a pit in a barn? She like fell down a pit in a barn.
That was a blurry, Buster fucking in haze, you know.
While Daddario was hanging out in the little cemetery out back.
Okay. Very nice.
All right. Anyway, most people know her as, of course, the French woman, Danielle Rousseau's daughter, with head of the others, Ben Linus, on Lost.
Oh, well, I know. I remember Ben. Yeah.
Yeah, but Alex is after your time. I think she was referenced. You met the French woman. Don't you remember Saeed Jarrah was always like, the French woman?
Vaguely.
You like found her in the woods.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
We.
I am Danielle Rousseau.
My daughter will be in the deep blue sea.
Well, she doesn't say daughter. It said Alex. It's like a big reveal when it's like, oh, this whole time I've been thinking it's a dude, but look at you. You're a hot lady.
Oh, all right, all right. So that's Tanya Raymond.
Okay, so she's the passionate marine biologist, Dr. Emma Collins, and her team are studying the impact of climate change on great white sharks who come to mate in the peaceful marine conservatory when unexpectedly Emma's old flame, Richard Lowell, arrives on a research vessel. Now, one thing about that, really... On the one hand, yes, climate change is an important issue that needs delving into. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, do I need like a full 15-minute like Al Gore presentation in the middle of my Deep Blue Sea sequel?
Yeah, is it her who gives the lesson?
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
They use props and shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, it was informative. I mean, if it was true about the great white thing, then I would put this more in a category of documentary, make it a 15-minute movie.
That's what I felt like for, like, the first half hour.
Yeah.
It just felt like I was trying, they were trying to teach me.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are you doing?
Did you learn anything?
No, because that's not where my brain is. If I put on an Inconvenient Truth, I'm ready to hear some facts. If I put on Deep Blue Sea 3, I'm attempting to turn my brain off. What the fuck are you trying to access it for?
Yeah. She kind of accessed me a little bit. I was paying attention. Yeah.
She accessed me too. But I mean,
she was very passionate. She's just so passionate.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, her old flame, Richard Lowell. You think he's the villain at first, but then he's going to get it.
Yeah, I mean, he is the villain for a while, but it's not as bad as the Aussie on board.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Aussie is more of like a mercenary who does what it takes. And this guy is just like one of these dime a dozen Deep Blue Sea, like, evil scientists.
Yeah, right. It's true. Yeah.
All right. So now in high hopes of capturing three rogue genetically enhanced bull sharks, Richard drags Dr. Collins in a fierce battle of survival, as the trio of fast underwater killers have already picked up the fragrant scent of human blood in the water.
Mm, oh, all right. My.
All right.
He wrote that?
Yeah.
The fragrant. Okay.
In the wake of the Achelios Complex massacre in Deep Blue Sea 2, 2018, a new bloodbath is waiting to happen, of course. In the name of science, will humans never learn?
What's this man's name?
I'd like to say another thank you to Nick Rijanis.
Nick Rijanis. All right, man. Good job. Might want to take the adjectives down a tad, but, you know.
Yeah, I don't need blood described as fragrant.
I think most human beings know that sharks are attracted to blood, you know, but in this particular case, they're attracted to the fragrant scent.
I have another plot description from a different person, an anonymous person, if you want to compare and contrast.
Sure, I'd like to spend as much time as possible on this plot.
All right, we don't have to do that. Henry, this movie was silly. I appreciated that it did have a connection to Deep Blue Sea 2, even though that's such a shit movie. I believe in if you're going to do a fucking franchise, bring it all together, baby.
You're right. They did. And actually, the second movie left such a non-impression on me that when she was referencing people, Emma, Dr. Emma, I just kept thinking, like, surely she's referencing people from the first movie.
No, I remembered once she said Michael Beach's character name, I remembered that was from the second one.
Yeah, I mean, I looked it up while I was watching to check, because I was like, all right, I got to be in the loop here. Are we referencing the movie that preceded? All right, we are. Okay. I thought they would have been better served by maybe referencing, you know, Stellan Skarsgård or Thomas Jane or LL, but they didn't.
But this is what I like in franchises. This is what I give Paul W.S. endless credit for. Continuity at all costs, even when it is utterly meaningless.
Right. As it is in this one.
Yes.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Do it. And honestly, watching it kind of made me want to watch those Skulls sequels.
Oh, really?
If they take after this shit.
Because he might do the same thing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It was just, it was a one location movie, essentially, like the other two. I mean, it all takes place in this island. There's some bad acting, not as bad as in two.
The island is laid out to look identical to the first movie. They're really trying to give you, like, memories of the first movie.
Oh,
remember
okay.
the end of the first movie when they're in that sort of circular structure?
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like that's like the whole last like half hour of this movie.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the thing about it that I thought was really hilarious was they keep calling it an island and they have like huts and stuff. But then whenever they zoom out, it really looks like a floating installation. It doesn't look anything like any island. There's nothing about it.
It's
there's
just
nothing.
Trash in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how would it be access? I mean,
the
it was.
What are you
it was,
talking about?
Yeah.
Do these people think that like Kate Winslet was on an island at the end of Titanic? Oh, you never saw fucking Titanic. She's on a piece of debris.
Right. Right. Well, this debris floated its way to off the fragrant coast of Mozambique. And
fragrant if there's blood in the water, bro.
That's right. That's right. And I don't know. Yeah, that was a little fun. It was honey. And it was funny to believe that that they were like a merchant vessel goes all the way to the middle of the ocean and they find this tiny little island. And, you know, they met up. And essentially what? The evil scientist wants to get the bull sharks, but he wants to get them alive. Right, I believe. And
well, the thing is, the bull sharks were genetically enhanced in the lab from the second one. And
second.
So they're not acting like normal sharks. So at first, like, they show them doing dives and shit and nothing's going right because, like, all of the normal instincts of sharks are opposite or whatever.
Yes.
And so they get scared. And then all of a sudden, like, halfway through, like, the dude who's, like, her boyfriend admits, like, by the way, they're mutants.
Yeah. You know, it was just funny because it totally abandoned at this point, really, like, any semblance of the first movie, which made the first movie so cool, which, well, I mean, a lot of things made it cool, but the fact that they were, like, extremely intelligent sharks and could, like, anticipate human behavior.
That's what's going on in this, too.
Yeah, but they don't even talk. It's very rarely explored. Like, they say it. That they just say it, but then we don't really see the bull sharks do much of anything that a regular shark wouldn't do. It just becomes Jaws, the just regular sharks hunting people.
Let's like, not they go don't... crazy. It's like 47 meters down uncaged.
You know, I obviously wasn't comparing the artistic merit of one of the greatest movies ever made. I just meant, like, the first one really goes into the exploration of that idea, and this one is just kind of like,
Henry,
yeah, they're really,
the
really smart.
The first one has a $90 million budget and actors that can perform this shit. Like, this movie...
Someone still had to write it.
Who wrote the Deep Blue Sea movie? Do we know that?
I don't know. I can find out for you. I just mean it's in the script. It's all in the script, my friend.
Wayne and Duncan Powers. Jesus.
Oh, they're big guys. They're the Powers brothers.
They wrote an Italian Job too.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that sucks.
That is an awful movie. Okay. Well, anyway.
I mean, what else do you have to say about this movie? Any good kills?
I like the sequence at the end when Emma is in the water and the bull shark is like kind of trying to get her in that garbage compactor and she's like under there trying to close the gate on it. I thought that was shot very well and it looked very real. I thought it looked very real and I dug that. I thought that was pretty cool. I also liked the death of Spin because I hated his character, the white nerd guy.
I'm surprised you hated this character.
Why is that?
Because there was an identical character in Deep Blue Sea 2 that was a really annoying nerd, and you gave him your MVP.
Who was the nerd in
I don't know. I couldn't tell the difference.
I gave him my MVP?
Yes. You loved the fucking nerd in Deep Blue Sea 2.
Oh, in Deep Blue Sea 2.
Yes.
I don't remember one in the first one. Oh, maybe I did. Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember him, but... Well, this nerd kind of sucked.
This nerd sucked, but I gotta say, I did sort of like his, you know, we get a cast of characters in this movie.
Yeah.
Because we gotta kill some of them, and there's gotta be some survivors. And the nerd, I believe, if I remember correctly, was into Mia, who was like a cute Asian girl.
Oh, sounds like this movie. Okay.
No, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, you said two. You said the nerd who was in two.
Whatever, so. The one in this one.
Just get the movie right. Yes, and there was a cute little romance.
Yeah, I really liked her. She was my MVP.
Okay, yeah, no, she was good.
I looked her up, and she hasn't been in, like, anything. Hollywood should put her in stuff.
She's young. I mean, she probably will. Who is she? Reina Aoi.
Aoi.
Reina Aoi.
That's how you think that's pronounced?
Oi.
Look, her previous credit was like, you know, a Korean thing from like 4 years ago.
Yeah. Well, maybe she'll
Japanese, excuse me. I fucked that up.
Yeah, it is Japanese. I didn't want to say anything, but yeah. Yeah, she was good. But I got to tell you, I liked the passion of Tanya Ramon. I thought she was a decent actress.
No, she is a decent actress. I like her.
Yeah,
I think I gave her my MVP in that Texas Chainsaw movie.
Oh, all right. Well, she gets my MVP in this. I mean, I just think she's in almost every scene. Some of the other actors in it are like borderline bad. But I mean, I didn't mind her friend.
And I gotta say, because of the Texas Chainsaw, she's like really, like, it's a real sexy, skanky performance.
Yeah,
when I saw she was in this, I was kind of expecting more of the same. And she's actually like a pretty, like, strong female lead, quote unquote. And she like wears a fucking life vest the whole movie. She's great.
No, it's true. I didn't remember her in Texas Chainsaw, but now it's coming back to me. And you're right. That would have probably been better if I would remember that to then see this. I'd never thought I saw her in my life. And I thought she was pretty decent. She's extremely earnest to be acting in a Deep Blue Sea 3 movie. But, you know, the Australian villain was all right, just very generic. But, you know, the boyfriend,
I did not like him. That's my LVP. Not the boyfriend villain. The henchman villain who sort of becomes the main villain. Yeah, he's weak, man. Enough.
Yeah, he's very generic. And I mean, it's just, you can see him coming a mile away that he, you know, is what he becomes. And I did like her friend, Eugene Shaw, the actor Emerson Brooks. He has a protracted fight that's really stupid and hilariously
Remind
long.
Me?
He's the black guy. Does that help?
No. I know who you're talking about. I liked him too, but
he has a big long fist fight with the Australian guy. It's for no reason. Like, the Australian guy's about to kill him, and then he's like, puts the gun down, and it just is like, all right, bring it on.
Oh, I kind of do remember that. They presented it like it's this like grudge match we've been waiting the whole movie for. And I'm like, I don't even remember these characters' names. Calm down.
Exactly. And he's like, he calls him an old man. And he says like, old man, you better get ready, son. And he's like, son? And it's like, okay, all right. So then it's like this big match that we all care about the outcome. Mm-hmm. And
he wins.
But Spin's death is nice. He goes down with a house. The shark comes out of the water and pulls him in.
There's
a good death. There's another good death when the boyfriend changes sides and jumps off the helm of the ship in midair. The shark.
Oh yeah, no. That's the big moment. I mean, I really think they're trying to go for another Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, they don't, but they try.
Yeah. It's pretty good, though. Like, for, like, a low-budget, cheesy version of that, they did all right.
agree. Yeah, I agree, man. Yeah.
All right. Hey, man, Deep Blue Sea 3, it's bad. Quality-wise, it's a 1, but I had kind of fun with it. I'll give it a 2.
I'll give it a 2.
All right.
I was entertained. I was not bored for much of any of it.
I was a little bored for a while.
Yeah.
But I was good at the beginning, and I was good for the last, like, 20 minutes.
I think it could have got a 3 for me with a rewrite. A little fat taken out of there. A little,
No.
No. A little casting change, maybe. But it's a 2. It's a solid 2.
I don't know, man. You could add, like, Gus Van Sant direct this. I'm still giving it a 2.
Yeah, it's a 2. All right, we agree. My MVP's Emma, the doctor.
Right, and I'm going with Mia.
Yeah, and my LVP's going to be Spin, and you're going with the Aussie.
Yeah, that guy. All right. Well, you did it.
Sweet, folks. What do you want?
Yeah, fuck yeah. Check it out, Deep Blue Sea 3, gang. This week on the pod, we'll be back to RoboCop 3 and RoboCop Remake and lots of Patreon shit happening.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. And you can, I don't know when this episode will go up, probably today. Obviously, as you're listening to it, you won't care because it will be airing in your ears. So it's irrelevant what I'm saying right now.
What were you about to say?
I was about to say, check out our website at thefranchisepod.wixsite.com/podcast. Check out our Patreon site.
Yeah.
At Patreon. I don't know the Patreon.
Patreon.com/thefranchise. You remember all that fucking shit about Olivia's website? It's patreon.com/the name of our show.
The Franchise.
Yeah.
The show. Okay. All right, I got it.
Fucking right. Henry. Look, and while you're at it, check out our Deep Blue Sea 3 episode. That should be up there.
Hey, look, I memorized a very long website name. You take care of the Patreon stuff. I don't have enough memory left in this old tank up here for it. So there you go. Anyway, folks, we will see you soon for RoboCop 3 and RoboCop starring Michael Keaton. Until then, happy trails.
Will humans never learn?